This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network. Visit JabberjawMedia.com for more shows like this one.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/peerpleasure. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Check it out today. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Peer Pleasure Podcast. I am your host, Dewey, and we are glad to have you back with us another week. I know I say it every week, but we are really glad to have you. Glad to have you listening. Glad to have you guys out there on our side. And hope you enjoy what you're hearing every week. I hear a lot of feedback from you guys, and I'm really stoked about that. So first off, this is going to be the last episode that airs only on the iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all that mess, before we go to radio. Adobe Radio, we will be debuting on there on the 22nd of January. That's going to be next week, and we are super stoked to do that. So what's going to happen is the show is going to air on Adobe Radio 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. You can tune into that at ido.bi/player, and that's the streaming player. You can listen to it on there. You can listen to it on the Adobe website. And so it's going to air there first, and then I'm going to air the full uncensored, well, censored is the wrong word, the unedited version like normal on Sunday nights. So once that airs, that episode will only be 55 minutes long. So if the episode is, you know, an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, we're going to air 55 minutes of that episode. And then the full version will be up on the website and on iTunes like normal the later that evening, Sunday night, when I get around to posting that. So really stoked to be part of the Adobe family, really stoked to be part of the Jabberjaw Media family, which we're also a part of, and you can hear our episodes on there now. A lot of great shows on Jabberjaw. My Career Hour, which I was just on as a guest last week, Mike and I did a, Mike Carrera and I did a swap cast where we interviewed each other and hosted on both of our shows. That was really fun. We're going to try to do a couple more of those with some other Jabberjaw hosts as well. And you know, Lead Singer Syndrome, we have a new podcast on Jabberjaw Media called Managemental Podcast. This podcast is awesome. It's Mike Mowry, is one of the founders of Jabberjaw. He is the, president and CEO of Outer Loop Management and Outer Loop Records. Outer Loop Records has some great bands on there as well. Youth and Revolt and, Lorna Shore, Migosh, Ice Nine Kills, a lot of awesome stuff. So definitely check out Outer Loop Records, Outer Loop Management. Definitely check them out. But Managemental is a podcast with Mike and Blasco. You might know Blasco from Rob Zombie's band, Ozzy's band. He's a bass player. Play with a whole bunch of people, and he also manages bands. He's a Mercenary Management, I believe, is his company. And Mike and Blasco on this podcast get together, as they've been doing for a long time, and they'd have a weekly conversation on the phone talking about issues and management stuff. Surprisingly, is very interesting. I think even if you're not a manager or a manager type, hearing these stories, how managers go about reading these articles, how they interpret things, and their way of thinking, and kind of the thought process around being a manager. So Managemental Podcast is definitely a good listen. I recommend it wholeheartedly. You know, I've been listening to the demos of it as it's been building, and it just gets better and better. And I think it's going to go places and really entertain people. So check out Managemental Podcast on JabberjawMedia.com. It's also on iTunes, everywhere podcasts are available. So definitely check them out. So I also wanted to talk about our Amazon affiliate link, which is on the website, purepleasurepodcast.com. That affiliate link, you sign in there, bookmark it, sign in as normal on Amazon, buy what you're going to buy. 4% goes to our show here, Pure Pleasure Podcast. Doesn't cost you any extra. It just helps us out, and it really does help us out. Keep costs down, you know, pay some bills. There's also a donate button if you do like the show. I know a lot of podcasts have a Patreon page. We do not, but we do have a donate button on the website that will definitely help the show out, keep costs down, same thing. It does take some work and some, you know, monthly bills to put this podcast out for you, and I'm really stoked you guys are into it. And if you want to support the show, head over to the website, purepleasurepodcast.com. Click on that donate button, you know, $1 a month, $5 a month, $1 million a month. I don't know. Whatever it's worth to you. If it is, definitely throw that out there and we can, you know, keep things rolling the way we have. A lot of great feedback still on our guests, and I've got a lot in the works for 2017. And so, like I said, this will be the last episode before we go to Adobe Radio. And so, you know, nothing's going to change if you have it on our RSS feed downloaded. But if you do not and you listen to it or want to listen to it a different way, definitely check out Adobe Radio. So a few things happened this week that I want to talk about before we get into our guest here. We've been hit in Portland with an incredible snow, ice, Snowmageddon, as they've been calling it. It's outrageous how fast the city shuts down with snow and ice. I get so tired of hearing people talk about how they're just worried about the other drivers on the road running into them because they know how to drive in the snow. And I'm pretty sure 90% of the people that say that are the drivers that people are actually scared of. You know, a lot of people taking liberties, driving like crazy. But long story short, drove to work the other day. The car was completely covered in snow. Brushed it off. It was like 4 a.m. Brushed it off. Backed out of my space, which took about 20 minutes trying to get out of my space, rocking it back and forth, stuck. And once I got it out, I was so gung-ho ready to get to work. I just took off and was driving along. Everything was fine. Then I realized when there weren't cars around me, I couldn't see anything. And I realized as I got halfway to work on the freeway that I had not brushed off my headlights. My headlights were completely covered with at least 3 inches of snow. And at that point, I was already moving. I had momentum. I said, you know what, forget it. I'm going to keep going. They can pull me over, whatever they got to do. Made it to work. Felt like the biggest asshole ever driving like that. Could have killed somebody. But all I wanted to do was get to work anyway. So now I'm one of those drivers that you want to stay off the road from. Anyways, and during this trip, the other thing I wanted to talk about, they played a clip of Ed Sheeran playing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song on the radio. This was talk radio. And apparently a fan asked Ed Sheeran to play on the fly the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song, which everyone that was born in the 80s knows by heart, which is not a hard sell. So he chimes in with the most generic chord progression, probably from one of his actual songs, and sang the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song over the top. And this radio host went on and on about how amazing of an artist this guy is, because he could come up with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song over some singer-songwriter generic chord progression. And it just made me sick. And I had to say it. I had to say it somewhere, because it was just blew my mind how someone could find something so bland to have such artistic merit because it was done on the fly. Anyways, that's my rant for this week. That drove me nuts. Driving like an asshole in the snow. Also, I feel real bad about that. No one was hurt, but the other side of that story is my insurance had expired from the previous owner of the car, my dad, and I didn't realize that until halfway through the month and have been driving through the snowstorm with no insurance. So there you go. There's my full confession, total asshole. Let's get into the show. This week, we have Mr. Logan Mader. You may know Logan from Machine Head or Soulfly, Medication, or his new band, Once Human. Once Human is an amazing, amazing band. I saw a post about it, I believe, on the PRP blog that I read. And when I saw that, I went and immediately went on Spotify, checked it out. It is some of the heaviest music I've heard in a long time, and it's female fronted, and it just blew me away. I definitely recommend checking this band out. I'm gonna play some music as we lead in the interview, and I'm gonna try to play a song at the end as well, to get the word out with my listeners as well, because Logan is a good dude. We met a long time ago at Undercity Studios, where the Burning Room was recording our record, We Invented Thunder. He was working on a record with a band called Assassino, with Dino from Fear Factory and Andreas from Sepultura. And Andreas and Dino, came and hung out with us while we were recording. Logan hung out with us while we were recording. We're kind of mentors in a way while we were recording our record. And that was the first metal record that I had written and recorded was We Invented Thunder with the Burning Room. So having some veterans of the metal scene in the studio was very cool. And I reached out to Logan through email, said, "Hey man, I know it's been a long time. We want to come on the show." And he said, "Absolutely." And that was really cool, not having to go through the publicist and everything else. Him just coming on board and chatting a little bit about Once Human, a little bit about the music industry nowadays. He's got a lot of stuff in the works, and they're just waiting for this album to come out, which is going to come out February 10th on Ear Music. And the album is going to be awesome. There's a couple songs up on Spotify you can download. There's some YouTube videos you can download. The band is just brutal. It really, really cool stuff. So without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Logan Mader from Once Human.
Do you work with Media Scare with Baron Bodner?
No. I did I did with the Burning Room that we were on Media Scare. For that one record, but since gone on to other things. And I didn't know if Media Scare was still a label or what, because you're working out of your own studio now, right?
Yeah. I moved out of there a long time ago, like in 2010.
Yeah,
and I had a place on Melrose for the first few years, and then I was in my house, and now I'm in a different house, and I'm in my studio set up in my home.
Nice.
I like it.
Right on. Yeah. And so you've got a lot of things going on. You got a new record coming out. You got a new band. Fairly new band. It's been, a year or so?
Mm-hmm.
For Once Human?
Yeah, it formed like 2 years ago, and we actually put a record out and did a couple tours, but...
Okay.
I'm way more excited about the second record. It's a lot different and a lot better. And
yeah.
We really kind of grew into our sound and in a lot of ways. Like, for one, we added a new guitar player, Max Karen, and he's a really good writer and player. And he worked with Lauren and I writing the whole second record, and he wasn't there on the first one.
Uh-huh.
So there's that. So musically, we stepped it up a lot. And... really got our own kind of identity going on, and a little bit of progressive elements going on, like longer songs and more intelligent music, and certainly way heavy. And then Lauren has grown a lot with her vocal abilities since the first record. That was her first time making a record and first time in the studio. And we did a couple of tours, and she just grew a lot and had developed her vocal style in a few different ways for the second record. Her main growling voice is a lot lower now, and it sounds brutal as fuck. And she also does like a tonal screaming type thing that has a little bit of a melody in it, but it's still really aggressive and screaming.
Uh-huh.
And her clean vocals, we have a little bit of clean vocals on the record, like very few. I think it's only on three songs, but four songs, but it only appears when like the music really calls for it.
Uh-huh.
So it's mostly brutal all the way through. And then lyrically, she grew a whole lot too. Like I'm really proud of what she did lyrically, and you know, the concepts are meaningful and thought provoking and intelligent and way more advanced than our first record. So
uh-huh.
I'm really excited to get it out. I'm like anxious and waiting. It's been a long setup. We started setting it up just because it was being delivered towards the end of the year. We had to wait. We would have been ready to put it out like in November, but it was just a bad idea to put a record out in November because, you know, with the holiday season, it's just really a bad mm-hmm. time for a record to come out. It's the worst time. Unless you're Avenged Sevenfold or Metallica or something, but like, you got to wait till the beginning of the year. So it was meant to come out today, actually, January 13th, but our record label didn't renew their distribution partnership with E1 Entertainment in America. They moved, they upgraded to Sony Red,
uh-huh.
but because of that, we had to wait till February 10th is our release date. So it's coming up, but it's still like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Waiting.
I bet, dude. Yeah. That's a long time coming. And how did you and her get together? Did you meet her somewhere? Were she kind of brought into you, or?
She actually was introduced to me by Monty Connor from Nuclear Blast Entertainment. He found a video of her. Someone played him a video of her playing guitar, like a YouTube clip.
Uh-huh.
And he thought of me. He thought, because I've done a lot of production deals and development with new artists. Actually, he signed one of them to Roadrunner when he was at Roadrunner, the band I'm in. I did that record actually at Undercity over there in Hollywood.
At the compound.
And then, yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of records there. I did a Gojira, the Way of All Flesh there. I did Five Finger Death Punch, the first one. And two Divine Heresy records. I did a record for Media Scare for Johnny Santos and Silent Civilian.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of others, yeah. I did a lot of work there. It was fun. Good times.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going back to where I met Lauren, and mm-hmm. Monty sent me this, and I thought it was interesting, so we took a meeting and we hit it off right away and started writing music together. Originally, I was just going to produce it and help her put a band together, but I just decided quickly into it that I wanted to play again, and this was like the thing to make that I wanted to do. So after just only producing for a long time, 12 years or so, and not really playing guitar, not playing in a band at all, I started playing in this band. So it's been, you know, it's been quite challenging. It's like, it's a different climate for music industry these days, and there's so much more competition and less money to go around. And so it's a struggle for a new band. It's kind of even crazy to like want to start a new band, but I believe in it and I'm doing it. And I feel like we've got a really good record coming out and some good opportunities coming around, like. A good team around us too, like with George Bally doing publicity in America. He's got some great press opportunities for us. Lauren mm-hmm. Bailey on the cover of Revolver in April, and a bunch of other good press. And the video, we first put our first video out 4 months ago, and it's got 2.1 million views or something. It's a lot of views. I didn't think it would do that much. It's still playing a lot every day.
Yeah,
that was a big success. And
is that the Eye of Chaos video?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the first one I saw when I heard about the band, and it was bad. I was shocked because I heard the song first, And then I saw the video and I was mm-hmm. like, that's a girl. Oh my God. Yeah. It was crazy.
You didn't realize it was a girl?
I didn't. I had it on Spotify and I was like, this is brutal. And then
it didn't even
cross my mind. Like, you know, there's stuff from like Walls of Jericho and stuff like that, where there's times like, and I knew it was a girl, but there's times I was like, man, that is brutal. And this just blew it out of the water. And I was shocked. And the other thing that really stuck out to me, and forgive me if I'm wrong here, but this is what it sounds like to me. It almost sounds like the leads and the rhythm are two completely different. It's almost like two songs were put together, and it sounds so cool. Are you guys tuned differently from each other, or is it, it seems like almost like the lead is from another song that got put over the top, but it fits. It's kind of like a weird.
Well, no, we're basically tuned the same way. Although Max, he does most of like all the leads and, his musical mind is crazy. Like he'll write a riff and then the lead that goes over it is rhythmically like from a different world of the riff, but they work together so well. It's, I think that's what you're talking about. Yeah. So it is, you know, that's how Max does his leads. It's like really cool. He does a lot of that on the record.
That's the thing that was so cool is I've not heard anything like that before. And it was like hearing a whole new style of music. And then the fact that, I mean, female fronted, and the sounds that she gets are insane. And of course, your guys' tones are just spot on. And, you know, I knew when I saw your name, I was like, this is going to be heavy. Like, this is going to be rad. Put it on. And then it was just a complete surprise, like, how different it was. And that was so cool because, I mean, it was a totally different kind of music in my mind, and very original. And that got me so excited about it, is this is going to be huge because, you know, there's so much heavy music out there, but this would appeal to so many people. And the fact that it's so brutal, I think it's going to be a gateway to a lot of people coming over to heavier music, that could get into it, you know?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
But, either way, you know, I'm really happy with doing it. It fills a hole in my soul that was empty for a while, and I'm still producing and mixing, mostly mixing these days. Incidentally, I mean, but which is fine. I love mixing. But it's great to be playing again and you know, do some tours and get out there on stage. It's like it's like nothing else in life. It's a good life experience, and I'm stoked to be doing it again.
Yeah, is it? And so you have a family now, right? You've got kids and a wife and how's that going with touring and everything, getting back into it? Are they supportive of it, or is it a lot harder for you to do now with family?
Yeah, it's you know, it's not easy, but like they live in Los Angeles with their mother, and she's a really good mother, and they have a nanny, and you know, like I visit them a couple times a month. And I miss them, but we're living in Las Vegas right now.
Okay.
Just because it saves money and it makes sense if we're going to be touring to keep a place in a studio with a lower overhead right now while we're building this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But soon enough, I'll move back to LA so that I can be with my kids more often because I do miss them a lot. But they're good. They have so many activities in all their daily life and on the weekends and stuff like that. They're really well taken care of, and of course I miss them, but you know, I gotta I'm on a mission right now, so, and they understand.
Yeah,
they're okay with it,
and they're proud of what Dad's doing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How old are they? How old's your oldest?
the triplets are 7 and the twins are about the time 5.
Oh my God, did you say triplets and twins? You have 5 kids. Triplets and twins.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
You must be run ragged. I have 3 kids, but they're not all at the same time. That's wow. Okay then. So that's oh man, that's gotta be crazy. So I was talking to I did an episode with Brock from 36 Crazy Fists, and he's got a daughter, and I was asking him how, you know, 'cause she's the age now where she'll come to shows and stuff. And have they seen you? Have they seen you play live then?
No, no, they haven't yet.
Okay, I was going to ask how that goes over, seeing what Dad does, but
yeah, hopefully they will. I think they'll be into it when they get a little bit older.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
So you and I met back in at Under City. You were doing the Asesino record, I believe, at the time, and we were recording in Under City. The Burning Room record with Stefan Neary and Johnny Santos came in for a little while and did some vocal coaching and stuff. And it was kind of cool getting into that world because it was, I mean, we came from, you know, a marginally successful, you know, band before that to Media Scare. And Baron's like, come on down, record. We'll do like a 50-50 deal. And then we met you and then Dino, of course. And Andreas from Sepultura and Johnny. And it was kind of cool getting into that world because that was a world we weren't really in, the metal world. And that was a cool little experience. And I listened to a little bit of the Josta episode you guys did, and you brought up Tacos Manzano and Dino. And I started laughing at my desk because we ate there every day. And the one thing that got missed there is Dino would come into our studio, and in that studio, as you remember, you go into the live room, then you go into a bathroom, and then the vocal booth is on the other side of the bath. You have to go through the bathroom to get to the vocal booth. And Dino would come in there and either sneak in sometimes, and sometimes he'd just be like, hey guys, what's going on? And take a shit in that bathroom, and we had to record vocals right after that, and he was laughing so hard, and it was, you know, at first it was shock. It was like, that's Dino from Fear Factory, holy shit. And then after a while I was like, oh, Dino took a shit in here again, really? And you know, and I remember coming in and you were doing the Silent Civilian record, and I think you may have been I think you recorded it in that room, because I remember coming in before we had met you, and the board was all taped up. And all they said was, do not touch this. Logan will kill you. And I'm like, who's Logan? And like, Logan Mater. I'm like, who? Logan Mater? I'm like, no idea. And they're like, oh, man, you got a lot to learn. Anyway, but then we met, and then you played us some mixes and stuff like that. And I'm not sure how much of this you remember, but it was a really cool experience. And then going back and listening to stuff you'd been on, like the Machine Head stuff, you know, Medication and all that was a cool learning experience, and got me exposed to a lot more of that side of metal, which I wasn't involved in. And that was really cool. And Tacos Manzano was hilarious, because just hearing that name, I was like, it brought me back to eating there every day and recording at that studio. So, but what's your,
cool. I totally remember you guys.
I wasn't sure if you did or not. Cause I mean, it was a brief time, and of course we haven't seen each other since. And I remember seeing the pictures, for Once Human when I checked it out, and I was like, holy shit, he's got dreadlocks again. But then I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. It was like buzzed hair when I met you. So it's been literally that long, and I was that made me laugh too, because I was like, Jesus Christ, time flies. But that was a good time. I think we did some gang vocals on one of those songs on that record, but because you're like, yeah, I think you guys busted in and said, hey, you guys want to come do some vocals? And we ran in there and we had to scream something in Spanish, Padre Pedophilio or something. So
Jamie Josta was there one or two days as well. That's why we were talking about that, because he did a guest vocal on it too.
Okay.
On that Alpha Senior record.
Yeah, it's just a... It's,
yeah, we might... Once Human might be doing some shows with Alpha Senior coming up in the next couple months too. I'm looking forward to that.
That would be rad.
It's not booked, but we're working on it. Yeah, I would like to do that. It would be fun.
That is one of the most brutal bands I've ever heard. And I can't find that record anywhere, like streaming-wise. It's almost like it doesn't exist. Like there's some weird electronic band with the same name. And like Spotify will pull up the cover, but you can't hear it. You can't listen to the music, but,
weird.
Yeah. It's real strange.
Yeah. It's like a good record. I like that.
But, So you're, I mean, you're, you have a very distinct tone when it comes to recording, and you know, I think that's why people said, you know, oh, or like Contra was like, oh man, we just recorded with Logan Mader, and I was still like, who? And then after hearing that Contra, well, it wasn't a demo, really, it was an EP. I was like, holy shit. Uh-huh. And then I started listening some more of the records and more of the records. And I was like, man, this is really good stuff. So with this Once Human record, did you record that, or did you have someone else handle that business?
No, I recorded it and mixed it.
Okay. Cause
and,
it's,
yeah,
I mean, it's brutal. And,
yeah.
The tones you guys have are just ridiculous. And I mean, it's just such a groove. I think is the biggest thing that I pick out of it is just the groove is so heavy. It just kind of sucks you in. And so on Once Human, you said that, you're playing rhythm guitar. So are you writing most of the songs, or is it more of a collaboration with everybody?
It's a collaboration with Lauren, myself, and Max.
And, okay.
Yeah, on the music, and then Lauren does all the lyrics and vocal stuff, like, on her own. And I produce and record and mix, and I actually used a different mastering guy. Normally I do mastering, but this one I wanted to use, Jens Bogren from Sweden. He's amazing, and I've been a fan of his work for a while and wanted to work with him, and I thought this was a good time to step away and let him put the finishing touches with mastering. He's got a great studio and a lot of analog gear and stuff that I don't have. Uh-huh. So, you know, we brought him in and he was stoked to do it. So I'm really happy with the results on that. Probably Excellent. Do that same formula on the next record too.
Okay. And do you guys have you've got the first record with Ear Music and this one with Ear Music. Do you have another record with them as well? Or is it just kind of a case or a record by record basis?
I have one more option with Ear Music.
Okay. And so this one you're going to blow out and head, what kind of touring cycle are you going to do on this record?
I mean, it's got to tell you, it's rough getting a tour right now, but before this record comes out, I have a really good agent in America and I have a good agent in Europe, and it's tough to get a good support slot. You know, we're not ready to go out and headline, so we need to go out with a good band that we can support. And it's like, it's rough right now. I've been pounding the fucking pavement and exhausting a lot of leads. There was a few almost got, then went away, or one reason or another. Like, it's been a frustrating, difficult to get the right tours. You know, it's, until this record comes out, I believe it's going to make a little bit of noise at least when it first comes out and do a lot better numbers than our first one, relatively speaking. So that's going to help. And so I'm kind of really waiting for that. But meantime, we got a couple things in the pipeline and probably won't start until March, but it's not even confirmed. So I can't announce any tours right now, unfortunately. Sure. But I'm hoping to have a full cycle out of this and go to Europe again and at least a couple or three tours in America and just see where it leads us. Our record's coming out in Japan this time. It's coming out in Australia. It didn't happen before. Press internationally and getting decent reviews and getting features in all the major press outlets all over Europe, and some in Japan and some in Australia and a bunch in America. So there's like a lot of good indicators out there that tell me like this is going to be okay and be pretty good, almost pretty good, hopefully. So, and I'm also the manager, so I kind of do everything, and it's a lot of work, but I love doing it. And I'm fucking determined at this point. Like, I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to keep doing it until it like gains some real momentum, and then I'm going to continue doing it. It'll just be easier. You know?
Yeah.
Pushing a fucking rock up a mountain right now.
Yeah. And that's something with, so when you started Machine Head, you know, it was a much different climate, but was it as much of a grind as it is now? You know, that was pre-internet, or when internet was still very, very minimal. What is the biggest hassle now for you guys? You said it's like pushing a rock up a hill, which I absolutely understand, especially, you know, from being in established bands and then starting fresh, you know, where you are. I mean, you're, when people say, you know, Logan from Machine Head, Logan from Soulfly, and then a bunch of people that not necessarily no names, but not, it's not a super group, but it's with people that could easily become, you know, extremely successful. What's the biggest difference for you now in the music business, or biggest hurdle, I guess?
Yeah, it really is a new band. It's not like a super group at all.
Yeah.
So that in itself, you know, presents a lot of obstacles and things to overcome, and means that we have a lot to prove as a new band. Like, it's not like there's a bunch of names, and but that's okay. And I like the challenge, and I like the fact that it's a new band, because when it does work and when it does really kind of build its own place and name, it's going to feel really good, you know? But it's a big difference. Just starting a new band in 2017 versus in 1993 is a totally different thing to do. I mean, and then even going further, Machine Head really happened overnight. Like, the record, not so much in America, but in Europe and UK, that record came out and was just charting. It was blowing up. And this is in a time when people actually bought records. And people, you know, the only way they would find out about a band is from the major magazines, physical magazines, and then their friends that would tell them. And word of mouth is still the same. It's just the medium is all different. Like, now word of mouth spreads through the internet, and traditional press still plays a role and has a bit of a status factor to it, but it's a much different world, like a totally different world today than it was then. Another thing different today, there is a lot more competition out there. There's like so many more fucking metal bands out there in the world that, and everybody's like kind of fighting for that same piece of pie. And so that makes things more difficult to stand out and to rise above and to get your piece. It's like, it's not as easy as it was. And then, and you know, Machine Head was kind of a phenomenon. It was a rare success story that doesn't really happen that often to a lot of bands. But, you know, it doesn't mean like we can't reach those heights eventually, because I know, like, in the metal genre, which is one thing I really love about it, is that, you know, you can have longevity and you can build a career slowly over time and build fans, and those fans usually stay with you, and they even grow old with you, and you know, they stay loyal. It's not like pop music or rap or anything. Like, if it's on the radio, they love it, and then when it doesn't get on the radio anymore, they forget about it. You know, people don't forget about metal bands that they love. They really kind of stick with them. And so that fan base accumulates over time if you keep making good records. As long as you keep making good records and keep performing, like, and the music is good, you know, eventually it will hit like a boiling point, and you can, you know, be a successful headliner and, you know, kind of make your own decisions and call your own shots and do what you want. You know,
sure.
Instead of sort of like waiting to get accepted as a support slot for a tour, things like that, you know?
Well, it's interesting to hear too, that it's been such a struggle, you know, with the amount of, you know, connections that you have. It kind of gives you an upper hand, but at the same time, you still need to present something that, you know, is going to bring something to the package for those tours. I assume it's not like, hey, Dino, it's Logan, new band, let's go tour right now. It's not that easy.
Interestingly enough, my connections help in a lot of ways. And it's like a lot of the things that are in the works right now are based in that, but they also take time to come into fruition. And like, there's a lot of lead in time for certain big press things to come out and reviews. And so, you know, it's like you got to lay this groundwork. But speaking of Dino, who's been a great ally and colleague of mine over the years, as like a client for producing and stuff, but he took, you know, Fear Factory took Once Human on our first tour in North America, and then they took us to Europe as well.
Okay.
Which was just based mainly on my relationship with Dino, and that he liked our band, you know? Yeah. So, you know, but I'm knocking on all these doors, and one of them's going to open. So I'm like persistent. So
yeah,
yeah. And again, it's like this record has to come out. I believe it really has to come out and make some noise and prove itself before more of these opportunities are going to start opening up for us. But
yeah,
I think it's just around the corner, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's just the next step, and it's got to suck just sitting on that. You know, the record's done, it's there, and you just have to sit on it and wait for that distro.
Well, I mean, we've been busy, you know, we've been busy, like, with a lot of press and stuff, and we went to the Revolver Awards, did press in New York. That's when we did the Joshua podcast.
Okay.
And we went to Australia, did press in Australia, and, you know, and I'm also busy working, and then I'm managing the band, so I have keep in constant communication with the record label and the publicists and the booking agents. And we're lucky that we have really good booking agent too, because to even get an agent right now for a new, if anything, it's like, it's not easier as well. Like there's too many bands out there, but we have a really good agent, Dan Rosenblum, and he's kicking ass, and he's persistent and kind of get us up out there like we need, and great publicist. And then I'm also, you know, working, I mixing a bunch of records and keeping busy with that so I can live and support my guitar playing habit.
Yeah.
yeah, so all good.
Well, with you doing so much, I mean, and you're managing the band, like you said, I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine that works with the podcast network I'm on, and he's a manager and manages a bunch of bands and been doing it a long time. And he, you know, talks about how a manager is crucial because they can make those tough decisions, have those tough conversations, and make those, you know, when everyone wants to go a certain way, and the manager being outside can step back and look at things a little differently. Do you find that hard to do, being so attached to the band, to the music, to the overall goal, that you may get be blind to certain things that may be bad decisions?
No, I want what's best for the band, and it's very clear. I've been doing it long enough to know what's good and what's bad. I manage another band as well. It's like this band called NVIDIA. They just got signed to SPV, and their record's coming out in March, and that's a lot of work as well, but, you know, they're good kids, they're good guys, and their record is good, and I got a good team of people. I got a full active rock radio campaign going with Landshark and Jamie Roberts from Right Angle for publicity. She used to be at Roadrunner, and I just got him an agent, and there's a lot of work involved in that, but it's like, it's pretty much second nature to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so one other thing I wanted to touch on with producing and mixing still is how do you, are you able now mixing and just doing mainly mixing to take on more projects, you know, with a touring schedule and everything else, because you can do that, I guess, a lot quicker than working on a whole record and having to set aside, you know, 2-3 months of your life. Or do you try to keep it to, you know, minimal amount of projects, while you're doing the road, when you have both going, I guess, kind of how you schedule your year out?
Well, yeah, obviously I can't produce an album when I'm on tour, but
sure,
I can still mix. I've got like a laptop situation, and, I think people would be surprised with the sounds I can get from mixing on really good headphones anywhere in the world. I can actually pull it off. I've done it in Europe. Once Human was touring in Europe last year, or end of 2015 rather, and I was doing mixes on the road on a laptop, and they got finished and accepted, and they sounded really good. And yeah, mixing two different projects while on tour.
That's awesome. So, yeah, you got to make that money, man.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, Logan. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show and chat with me for a bit. You know, I'm really stoked for this record to come out. I think it's going to do great things. And,
cool. Thanks, man.
Really. And I'm glad I just hit you up. I appreciate you coming on without going through all the publicist and everything else.
Yeah, it's all channels. Good.
It's yeah. Awesome. So, yeah. So
cool. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Logan. Take care, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right, everybody. That was my conversation with Logan Mader from Once Human. We had a great time talking with Logan, catching up. It was awesome of him to come on. Once Human is going to be taking the world by storm. I really believe that. This record is going to be fantastic. And they've got the drive. They've got the means. And, you know, it's just going to go places. It's going to be really good. So, as usual, we are on purepleasurepodcast.com. We are on Instagram and Twitter. Our Twitter is at podpurepleasure. And our Instagram is at purepleasurepod. We are going to Adobe Radio next week. I have a really awesome guest set up for that one. 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Adobe Radio, adobe.com, ido.bi/player. We're going to have all this stuff on the website as well, link to Adobe Radio, where you can check us out. And don't forget to check out the Amazon affiliate link. Don't forget to donate to the show. If it's worth something to you, hit that donate button. You know, like I say, $1, $5, $10 a month. Whatever it's worth to you, we're glad to be with you on your commute or flight or, you know, just hanging out, listening to a podcast. I know I listen to mine on the way to work. Not my own podcast, but I listen to the podcast that I listen to on the way to work. Been enjoying being a part of the Jabberjaw Media family and those podcasts and podcasters. A lot of cool stuff coming up in 2017. So definitely check out the other podcasts on Jabberjaw. And we look forward to you listening to us on Adobe or the way you are now, be it iTunes or through the website. Really appreciate the continued support and couldn't do it without you guys. So thanks for listening. I know this was a little bit long-winded of a intro on this one with a lot of stories I had to get off my chest. So anyways, have a great week. We'll see you next time.